B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My primary takeaway is that they just were out of sorts in this game. They were not ready for this game. I'm not going to say they were completely outcoached or anything like that. I put it on the players. You know, don't give the players a pass. They had a week off. I don't want to hear any whining about the week off. The Colts had a week off. They were ready to go. I put it on the players. The players did not execute at all. You know, and really any phase of the game. I mean, even Jake Bailey before the block punt, and I was okay with his get off time. I had him at 1.8, normally like 2.1 mm-hmm. is a max, so I was okay there. But he had two other punts that were terrible, that were not good, that could have been a lot better. Offensively, I thought the execution overall was just poor. That's the quarterback. That's the receivers. That's in the running game. I thought the blocking was atrocious. And maybe that was because I don't think they were in pads much last week. Maybe that was a reason for that. But it was atrocious.
Fourth and final hour of Felger and Mads. Mike's out today, so Jim Murray alongside Christian Arcan in studio as well. Greg Bedard with a pretty comprehensive teardown of the Patriots. Puts most of it on the players. We'll get to Mac Jones as well here, but I suppose we'll ask it in this general sense, Jim Murray. More on the players or more on the coaches in this game?
No, he's right. It's more ultimately on the players.
I mean, to me, I don't know how you could feel any other way when you look at some of the mistakes the Patriots made. Jakob Johnson let a guy run right by him.
Jacoby Myers has to make that catch, the one that's deep down the left sideline early on.
I mean, when you guys were doing three up and three down earlier, Murray, it was hard to think of three guys who played well. Like three guys that you would say, now that guy had a good game.
Now, Hunter Henry, I think, that was his first. I had him in my 3-2.
Yep.
Like Hunter Henry, I think, is the one guy that you can say was the best player on the field for the Patriots that night. Other than that, finding the other two, it was kind of a stretch.
It was a chore. I mean, they didn't get enough opportunities for Nick Foles, so it was hard to pick him. I mean, now I'm talking about the kicker. But the offensive line didn't play well. The defensive line certainly didn't play well. I mean, you said J.C. Jackson, right, Murray?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job on Pittman early, and then Pittman leaves that game. But still, like, he should have had a pick. One went in and out of his hands that Carson Wentz tried to throw to him. But overall, I thought he was good. But I don't know. Like, I think you're crazy if you want to put Mac Jones as one of the pluses in that game. He had a good fourth quarter. He sucked for the other three.
So this is really ultimately what worries me a little bit, is I just wonder if they got punctured a little bit. And when I say punctured, I mean the Patriots had built a lot of momentum. They'd won seven in a row. They were in possession of the top seed. Everything was going their way, and they got punched in the nose. And now the thing has regressed a little bit. So now you got Buffalo coming in here for what amounts to the division championship game. It's really what this is. You lose this game, you're tied with Buffalo. They hold the tiebreaker thanks to that loss to Miami that the Patriots had way back in week one. And Buffalo's got cream puffs on the way out in terms of the last couple of weeks of the season. The last two games are against the Jets, and who's the other one? It's two absolute dog food opponents. So it feels to me like Buffalo's going to win out. Very little standing in their way to end up going 11-6.
Jets and Falcons.
So, and is the Falcons game in Buffalo?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a win. They'll win that game at home. So, you know, to me, I'm just not sure what we're going to get this week. And I'll add Mac Jones to the conversation here. Christian, what did you say to me during the break last segment?
Well, I was thinking about Mac Jones and his comments about feeling sorry for ourselves, and I know that there's scuttlebutt that he's talking about the bye week and how it was a shortened bye week and their vacations got cut down, and I don't know. I mean, I don't want to believe that that's true because it makes the Patriots sound like a bunch of babies, but I also was sort of wondering, like, was he maybe talking about himself a little bit? Like, was he feeling sorry for himself? Because I could see him feeling a little down on himself. The last time he played, the coach only let him throw three times. He had a whole week to think about that. It was on national TV. And then he goes out in the next game, he gets shut out for three quarters. And I just sort of wonder, like, was he down on himself? Like, was there maybe something there? It's a theory I'm sort of kicking around. And okay. I don't know if that's what he meant. But, I mean, if he did, it would make sense, right?
Do you think he's good enough?
Mac Jones?
Yep.
Right now, no. Good enough to win to get to the Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl? No, I don't. I think he might be good enough to win, like, a wild card game. depending on who the matchup is. But most of the wins this year, I felt like, have been kind of, you know, not really because Mac Jones won them the game. They happened because the defense was really good, or they had a great run game that day, or something else along those lines. His best game was, what, the Cleveland game, right? Yeah, I think we all agree. So. He didn't have to have that kind of game. He only, didn't even throw for 200 yards. Like, the wins this year haven't really been because of Mac Jones. So, no, I don't really think he's good enough to take over a game and win a game on his own like that. He hasn't shown it yet. We're well into the season.
Do you have concerns about him being good enough in the long term?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, any rookie quarterback, I think you're going to have that. And even if he does stay here in New England and he stays with Josh McDaniels, who I think that's a good pairing, those two, he may just be one of those Alabama quarterbacks that comes to you and he's ready to go and doesn't really ever get much better. There's a lot of examples of that.
Murray, and by you, do you have long-term concerns for Jones?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think he's been good-ish for the most part this year. I'm with Arcan in that it's, you know, can you point to any game specifically and say Mac Jones won the Patriots that game? No. He's been good in some. He was good enough in the Chargers game. He was really good against Cleveland. You know, he was good in this fourth quarter to have them come back a bit on Saturday night, but who's to say? He could dip a little bit if McDaniels leaves for a job and then it's whoever the hell's left on the staff. They're unable to bring Bill O'Brien back. Yeah, that could become problematic.
The ability concerns me. And again, not
right. There's not a lot of arm strength. Like, look at that second interception, the one that he threw to Okereke, the linebacker. Like, I didn't think there was enough pop on that game, on that ball.
There wasn't. Yeah, there wasn't. And so, and this has been an ongoing thing with him. And look, his arm may get stronger. Maybe that's something they'll work on. It is something I'm worried about is the physical ability of Mac Jones. I'm not worried about his toughness. In fact, I think his toughness is his greatest attribute. His physical toughness, he gets the crap kicked out of him sometimes.
He did in this game.
He takes some shots and he keeps coming back and you can see that he's hurting and he fights through it. So that I like. I do question his raw ability, and I'll go back all the way back to something that Matt Hasselbeck said on ESPN, pre-draft.
Well, just quickly on that before you read it.
Yeah,
so
go.
You watched Thursday night's game, which was very entertaining between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Their rookie quarterback, but Belichick's owned that guy. Okay, fine, but do you look at Justin Herbert and Mac Jones and think they're on, like, the same level?
No.
If you say that, you're crazy. Your eyes don't work.
They're not. They're not.
Just from a talent standpoint.
And look, again, a lot of people would tell you that at the beginning, Brady didn't have it either. But Brady had some, you know, Brady, first of all, his arm got better. Brady never threw a great deep ball, but his arm got better. And he was a maniac. So, and now here we are again comparing Mac Jones to Brady. I'm worried about Jones's physical ability. And I was saying that if you remember pre-draft, Matt Hasselbeck said something to the effect of, well, look, in the first round, if you're picking up high, you got to take a guy with a high ceiling. Mac Jones might be more NFL ready, but to me, he's not a first round pick. He's not a guy that you take up at that stage of the draft because the ceiling is limited. And this is part of what I'm worried about. Did we get a little glimpse of that? Now, he's only 14 games in, so it's early. This can totally change. I'm not telling you this is lock, stock, and barrel, etched in stone. But I think if you had concerns about his arm strength and his physical ability up to now, I don't think that a whole hell of a lot has changed. Tom's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I'm sorry to repeat. I heard what you guys said about the Beasley being out this game is big, very big, because he's the one guy that they throw to when they need it because they can't run. The kid has like 80 catches and it's almost 9 yards per reception. That's their possession guy. So if they can't run it, which they can't, and then they can't throw to him, which they can't, then what the hell are they supposed to do offensively against the Pats on Sunday?
Okay, so Tom, believe it or not, I think they still have enough. Stephon Diggs is playing, right? Is there any indication he's not playing? Dawson Knox?
Oh, I think they're kind of screwed without him. I'm with the caller.
Okay, what about Emmanuel Sanders? Is he still playing?
He is, but he's not having a great year.
Yeah. Okay, I still think they have enough. I do. I think they have enough. And the other thing is, if Cole Beasley's the piece that puts them under, well, then they're not very good. I mean, look, Beasley's fine, but I'm not telling you it's an insignificant thing. They still have enough receivers. That should not be the piece that that puts the Bills under. 617-779-0985. So Greg Bedard thinks the Patriots had a comprehensive breakdown. We'll give you a more specific take on Bedard talking about Mac Jones when we come back on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
He is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe It.
It's about me. Yes, absolutely. It's about me. No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
This was an illustration. If you were looking for an example of why a rookie quarterback has never led a team to a Super Bowl, this was an example of that.
Okay.
He wasn't quite ready for the moment. I thought he played spectacular in stretches in the second half, but overall, he was not ready for it.
Craig Bedard saying basically what Christian Arkin said in the last segment, that Mac Jones was not ready for this game. And when he says not ready, he's talking about on the developmental path, on the career path, that you're put in a spot, tough environment, loud crowd. And again, whether the noise is real or fake, Murray, as we talked about this yesterday, and I have no doubts that the Colts were pumping noise in there. Fine. What are they, the only ones? You're not going to encounter that on the road? So, and I'm not telling you that I like it or that it's, you know, whatever. I'm just telling you that that's the reality.
Yeah, and he was right to point out, too, some of these road games that looked more challenging at the time were essentially, for all intents and purposes, road Patriots games. I mean, that L.A. Chargers game was full of Patriots fans. The game against the Carolina Panthers, a de facto home game, certainly, well, I mean, the Jets, but the Jets are the Jets, so are the people going to get cranked up for that? They did for maybe a quarter. You know, so this was the first time, I think, at least since he's come into the NFL, he's faced that kind of those kind of elements. And at least for, especially in that first half, but for the better part of three quarters, he didn't fare well.
I mean, Murray,
it looked like it affected him. I'm sorry to cut you off again. I texted you at the time watching that game early on. Like, it looks like he's going to cry. Bad body language.
Yeah. And you know what? I meant to ask Bedard this and I forgot. I'd be curious to see what he says, that it does feel like the more we go on and on and on about Mac Jones and discuss him, it really does feel that from the beginning, the Patriots were worried about his, you know, can I say emotional state as a rookie? Can I say that?
Sure.
You know, and that.
Well, he gets led off by the hand or the wrist in that loss to the Saints early on. I mean, Greg pointed that out. His camp, the guy he had his taking photos for Boston Sports Journal. He put it all over the place. I was like, oh, that's a weird look. But remember, he was sitting on that bench well after the loss and looked like he was feeling sorry for himself. And Bill, I think rightfully, took him by the hand and said, enough, kid. Like, we're out of here.
Yeah, so I just wonder. And again, I'm not making a long-term judgment on him. I don't know that he's the most confident kid coming out of college. And how could you be?
Oh, I think he runs hot, and that can be a good thing. Like, you kind of want a guy to be a bit of a psycho at that position. You know, I think that's one of Brady's best attributes. But when it, can it run over into, I'm losing control, like, you got to keep doing these breathing exercises. Those breathing exercises obviously help him. But didn't you notice early, like, on the field he was doing it too? And it's like, oh, boy. Like, is he feeling like he's coming unraveled? Like, I think that's a concern.
Yeah, and again, it speaks to me, Murray, of a lack of confidence and composure in those spots, which, again, might be experience. That it might be that. The kid's only played 14 games in the league.
He did bounce back from it, too, though. I mean, in the fourth quarter, and I had that same concern you did. I said, wow, he's getting shut out through three quarters. He's probably hyperventilating on the sideline. This game's over. And in the fourth quarter, he gathered himself and he made a comeback. So
he's resilient.
I'll give him that, yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's resilient. And again, we saw this in training camp, too, that when he had a bad day, he'd come back and have a good day. So if you use that as some sort of standard, then he should come back this week and play well against Buffalo. And when he was starting to skid there in the middle of the year before the Jets game, and they had the big rally, you know, the big blowout win over the Jets, Bill rebuilt the team's confidence. Jones did rally and come back. And so he's resilient. I just don't know if he is what people here are going to want him to be. And a game like that shakes a little bit of your faith. Cam's in Taunton. Cam, go.
How's it going, guys? We did get one answer of something we wondered all year on Saturday night. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but after the field goal that made it 20-10, the fourth quarter controversial field goal, they cut to Mac Jones on the sideline. And I noticed behind him the phones that they used to talk to the coaches up in the coaches' booth. And in years past, there was a phone that was in all capital letters with a piece of tape on it that said Ernie. Guess what that phone said Saturday night? It said Matt. So there's your confirmation right there that Patricia has, in fact, taken Ernie Adams' role.
You're welcome.
He's the new Ernie Adams.
Yeah. How do you feel like he's doing the job, Cam?
Not good. Not well.
Yeah, I don't know that he's quite as effective as Ernie Adams is up there. Look, they've had major changes, okay? They've had major changes in terms of how they handle personnel, the draft. They brought in a new quarterback. Those are major changes.
I mean, we've all kind of known this, and Jimmy Stewart brought it up early when they brought Patricia back, but it was a good...
I was first.
That's right.
I was first.
But it was a good observation to confirm it that Cam had. I saw him tweet that, too. The phone just says, Matt. Just pick it up when you want to know how the apps are upstairs.
Yeah.
What observations have you made?
Try the mozzarella. Uber Eats.
Yeah. Try the mozzarella sticks.
The shrimp from St. Elmo's. The sauce is so spicy.
Sean is in Atlanta. Sean, what do you got? On the Celtics, I think.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I got some inside information from inside the building. A family member is married to somebody inside the building. I would divulge their name, but it would cause me family issues.
That's quite all right. Go ahead. Tell us anyway.
Good enough for
basically,
us.
Basically, there's a player who gets a lot of minutes on that team who said that Marcus Smart is the problem on that team. He's a cancer in the locker room. It's not only Jaylen Brown he has an issue with. You name a player, Marcus Smart has had an issue with him. And so I think that you guys are correct that what you said before the season started, that contract was for them to make it easier for them to trade him. That's all I got, guys.
Okay, so, Sean, you think that Smart is gone then in the next, like, 2 months?
I hope so. I didn't get nothing about what they're saying in the front office. This is just coming from the players on that team have a problem with Marcus Smart.
Okay, you said it was a player that gets a lot of minutes. So was it Tatum or Brown? yeah, all right. That's right. I mean, no, it's one of them.
Well, he was calling from Atlanta.
Schroeder.
And Jaylen Brown is known to go visit back home in Atlanta.
Ah, there you go, Murray.
Dennis Schroeder.
See, Murray, you put the pieces together. I just, you know, as soon as he said plays a lot of minutes, I mean, who else was it going to be? Patrick is in Portland. Go ahead, Patrick.
Dennis Schroeder.
Hey, guys, I just want to let you know that I will always take Tom's side, and I wish that Bill didn't let him go. But with that being said, I really saw a lot in that loss. I was falling asleep on the couch, and, you know, I was really glad that Mac Jones was able to turn it around after throwing two interceptions, and they didn't really give up. And there was like, it was like a character loss, and I'm not being a Belichick Bobo or any kind of Bobo here. And it's like a good time for a loss, you know? They can learn from it. What do you guys think of that?
And did you think about this, too? I'm sorry, I forgot to ask. What if they play Tom Brady and the Bucs in the Super Bowl?
Oh, geez, yeah, I hadn't heard that. Boy, aren't you a chipper fella.
That team looks like they're going far. Look, I'll give them credit that they, most teams, especially where they were, down 20 to nothing at that point, like, they just fold up shop and say, oh, the hell with it. You know, we'll lick our wounds and we'll get ready for next week when we have to, now this very important game. For the division against Buffalo. They kept fighting. They kept fighting. And they sucked. And the quarterback sucked for three quarters. So, no, the fight that they showed in the fourth quarter, that's a good thing.
Yeah, they hung in there. I'll give them that.
With the landscape of the league this year, especially in the AFC, how many other teams would do what I was just talking about, say, ah, the hell with this. We're just getting our ass kicked tonight.
A lot of them would have. But before I give them credit for being, or before, you know, before I call it a loss that could benefit them, I need to see how they respond to it.
Right.
So, in theory, again, if you would ask me going into the game, do the Patriots need a quote-unquote loss? I would tell you I didn't see any signs of cockiness in them before Indianapolis. I didn't get the sense that they were, you know, starting to slide a little bit, or they weren't as sharp and they were winning games anyway when they weren't playing well, and that this is all some sort of indication that they've taken their eye off the ball. I didn't feel that way at all. In fact, I felt, no, keep winning. You've got the number one seed. Why the hell would you, you know, not that you would lose on purpose, but why would you say, well, they could benefit from a loss when there were no signs that they, in fact, I would say the opposite was true, Murray, that they were looking better every week and they were looking more with it every week. So this one caught me off guard a little bit. I did not expect them to regress like they did.
Yeah, especially after a bye, too. That's what makes it so uncharacteristic.
So did you happen to see that Belichick's only 13-9 after a bye?
I thought the numbers would be better than that.
Okay, 13-9, which for Bill
is... He lost it after last year, obviously. He's now 0-2 out of the bye with O'Brady. and the other one that really comes to mind, remember being really weird, was a year they went to the Super Bowl. It was 2011. They came out of the bye, and they lost to Pittsburgh and the Giants here.
So, you know, it's not totally out of character, but let's see how they respond to it. I mean, if they have another stinker, then they were punctured. That's always the word that, you know, to me that once you start winning, you develop this air of invincibility. They got punctured on Saturday night. Steve's in his car. Go ahead, Steve.
I called about the Kill Harry. He seems like he's stepping up his game a tad. You know, he's made a couple of catches, and he's looking like he's coming back to the ball. But also, on Mac Jones, he's got a long way to go. He has to, you know, still learn situational football, and he still has to, you know, get his reads correct and get his confidence up and get his arm strength. Like, you guys hit it on the head, you know?
Yeah, so, Steve, I think everyone knows he's got a long way to go. The question is, are there attributes there that may be what they are, specifically as it relates to the physical ability? I think his intangibles, the mental part of his game, is toughness.
Toughness and smarts.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is there. The thing I wonder about is the physical ability with Mac Jones.
N'Keal Harry was also one of my three ups for this week, which maybe says more about the team and how bad that they played on Saturday.
I mean,
he was all right late. He did make a couple of big grabs late.
It was nice to see him actually go up and get the ball, Murray.
Yeah.
Right? That, at the very least, was nice to see.
You know, N'Keal Harry has fewer catches than James White this year, and James White played in three games.
Oh, my God.
Really? It's true.
How many did James White have?
12.
And then I'm not N'Keal's surprised.
N'Keal's got 10. That's a true stat.
All right, kids, get your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felder and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is good, Murray. I got people asking me what time they should come in on Friday to, you know, like clean up around the office and stuff. So Mary's not here, and I'm empowering them all to come in early.
Yeah.
As if it's my position to decide. Yeah, sure, come on in early.
Well, you'll be off that by then anyway.
That's
right?
Exactly right. So what do I care?
Right.
So I did. I just told our buddy Jose here. I said, yeah, well, you may want to check with Mary, but if she's not there, I'm giving you the right to come in early. Get here, get in early, get out early.
Giving him the day off.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about it, actually. Jose, you know what? Take the day off. Don't even come in. Yeah, exactly.
We're giving you a raise.
We'll take your calls here over the last segment. We'll get to the email of the day and then the final word. Marcus in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Tony. I got a quick Bills point and a quick Patriots point. You know, in the last couple of weeks, if you look at Buffalo, it hasn't been Stephon Diggs. It hasn't been Sanders. It's been a little bit of Knox, but I'm worried about Gabriel Davis all of a sudden. He's come on, and that gives Josh Allen another target to throw to all of a sudden. And also, is Dante Hightower, like, on freaking vacation? Is he just out there, like, collecting a paycheck now? Because he freaking sucks.
So I have felt this way about Hightower all year long. He's not the same guy. Now, there will be people who would tell you, and Felger touched on this the other day, and it's a fair point, that Hightower wasn't the same guy during the regular season before COVID.
Yeah, but you take a year off. I mean, obviously, it's going to affect you. Look, it happened with Gronk. You know, Gronk stepped away from football for a year. He looked like a shell of himself, or he did at the end. And then after a year, he got his legs back underneath him. And prior to this rib injury this year, he looked like Gronk of like 3 years ago.
Yeah, so it can set you back a ways. I just wonder, early in the year, I just wondered whether Hightower was in it for the paycheck. And Belichick felt like he needed some veteran leadership, so they kept him. They kept McCourty, Slater. And it felt to me like those guys didn't necessarily believe that the team had what it took to win. Now, I somewhere along the line there, I think it changed. But what I find worrisome is those two running plays. The one at the end of the first half in the Tennessee game, and the one at the end of the game in the Indianapolis game just this past Saturday. You give up a 67-yard run with the game on the line, and remember, early in the year, the defense had opportunities to get the ball back for the offense at the end of some games and give them a chance to win, and they couldn't get off the field. So that run defense, I think, is still something you got to watch. Chris is in Texas. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on, I agree that the Bills can still have enough to win on Saturday, and you guys may have touched on it, but Josh Allen has the ability to run the ball where Mac Jones does not have that ability. Also, the ability to escape a rush, as evidenced by the first sack that Indianapolis had the other night. He went down like, you know, Tom Brady 20 years in.
Hey, Chris. And, Chris, did you see the 12-yard run he had?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Nobody was around.
Okay, well, that's not true. They tried to swipe the ball out of his hands, and he held on to it. He's more mobile in that way than Brady was.
He's right, though. If Buffalo wants to pull off this upset and win here on Sunday, Brian Daboll has to have more, you know, assigned runs for Josh Allen. I couldn't believe he didn't do that more in that game in Buffalo when they first played.
Well, and then they did it down in Tampa Bay, and he had...
That second half, like, there was design plays for him to run, and he can get you 6, 7, 8 yards, pick up a first down. I couldn't believe that they didn't do that more.
Okay, so...
That first meeting between them and the Patriots.
Murray, that I 100% agree in. I just don't know that how that relates to Jones, right? So, in other words, Jones can't run as well as Josh Allen. Okay, fine. So,
yeah,
what?
That's a given.
Right, so you can't win? Like, that's the deciding factor in the game, that now all of a sudden Mac Jones can't run? I don't think the Patriots want him to run. I don't think that's ever been a real question with regard to Jones. They're not going to build an offense that requires a quarterback to run around and get hit and get hurt. Wayne's in Revere. Wayne, go.
Yeah, one of the things I was really kind of shocked at, and none of the announcers even talked about it, but the helmet-to-helmet hits where they literally had to stop the clock and take guys off the field. I guess at one point I read that Belichick literally pulled over the entire umpire and refereeing staff, and I guess really tore them a new rear end. But the thought that not even the announcers on 50,000 replays didn't say, well, look, it's helmet-to-helmet. It was an obvious helmet-to-helmet. I mean, guys were almost knocked out. It was just like, it was like nothing. I mean, I was kind of shocked by you.
Okay, so Wayne, do you feel like the Patriots get screwed?
No, I just feel like that if that's the rule and you're going to enforce the rule and protect these guys from really getting badly hurt, whether it was us or them, they got to enforce it. I mean, if you're going to keep these kids from ending up with CTE and, you know, ending up, you know, with horrible lives down the road.
Okay, so Wayne, what I would tell you is that the CTE part of it, and I'm not trying to trivialize the injury or the ailment. I think that that's going to happen even without some of the direct head-to-head shots.
He's going to be talking about the Andrew Sendejo hit. He's the safety on the Colts on N'Keal Harry, which I couldn't believe they didn't throw a flag, and especially because Sendejo has a reputation of being a dirty player. At least he did when he was with Minnesota. I can't imagine he's cleaned it up since he's gone to Indy. No, that one, I'm with him. I couldn't believe they didn't throw a flag on that one.
Okay, so Murray, my only question is, if the Patriots had been the one giving the hits, do you think that he would have called...
Of course not.
Concerned about the safety of the players.
No.
Because that's not the real reason he's calling. He wanted flags. He thought it was dirty. He thought that somehow it should have benefited the Patriots. And so all I'm telling you is that these guys, and I heard Ted Johnson talking about this recently, but a lot of these guys would rather get head injuries than injuries to their knees, ankles, places where it relate to their speed, their agility, and their livelihood.
Yeah, I'm not shocked to hear
football
that.
Football players know what they're getting into, and I'm not minimizing it. We've learned a lot about head injuries; they're a serious thing.
They still got to call those, though. They had that N'Keal Harry one was ridiculous, and the Aguilar one too. He crumpled. He was standing up, and he crumpled over. Like, that was tough to watch when Aguilar went down. And listen, I don't think either one of those calls would have changed the outcome of the game. But you got to call them. Like, they were throwing flags all over the place. You can't call those two. That was crazy. I thought.
Yeah. No. Listen, some of those hits are vicious. I didn't feel the Aguilar one to me was worse than the N'Keal Harry one. Jacob's in a car. Jacob, go.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So are you speculating that Jones is someone like Eli, who was a first rounder but not immensely talented quarterback, but was tough?
I don't know if that's a good comparison.
I mean, if he's that, you got to win. I mean, if he's that, because Eli, while he kind of sucked for most of the regular seasons that he played, he was an assassin in the playoffs.
Yeah. Did
so
we ever?
If Mac Jones can do that, then yeah.
I would take that, Murray.
Hell yeah.
I think
Eli's a Hall of Famer. I know a lot of people don't because of the statistics in the regular season, but I'd put him in.
I don't know if he has Eli's arm. Eli had a better arm than this kid. So I'd have to go back and look at video of Eli's arm, but it feels to me like Eli had a better arm than this kid. I mean, Jones's ball floats. There's no way around that. So, and I know that people want to defend him, and he's a likable kid, and all of that is true. I'm not sure he has the arm to play quarterback at a high level. Sean's in Worcester. Sean, go.
Hey, how you doing? I want to just point out, I do think that the Patriots coddled him for a while, but I think that's okay. You don't want to have your rookie quarterback really suffer a bad loss. Bring it up in a point. Maz, I just literally heard you do a PS, a commercial, and you flubbed the line. How did you deal with your first flub line, your first year in broadcasting? And I think that's what the Patriots were trying to avoid. And I think that the way that he performed the last quarter of the last game was that he was able to suck it up and deal with it, because you have to. And I think that's a big sign of maturity and improvement. You know, we all...
I got it. Okay? I don't give a rat's ass if he flubbed his line. Or, you know, and I'm using an analogy. Of course he's going to flub his line. I have news for you. Even when he's got 10 years in the league, he's still going to flub his lines. So that's not the issue. The issue is, what's the ceiling? What's the ceiling on Mac Jones? That's the question. So if we're going to talk about the quarterback and what ultimately, what it's about what he can be. And Murray said there were occasions where he looked at him on the field and went, ooh, the kid looks rattled. He looks unsure of himself. Which, again, is natural. Then he bounced back. He fought back. So that's a good sign. But over the long term, what if he's just what he is right now? He'll get better, I think, but what if his arm doesn't get a lot better? What if he's not the guy? I don't think it's wrong to ask that question. So it's not about everyone expecting him to be perfect now. And frankly, I said this the other day. I'll say it again now just so we're clear and we're on the same page. I wanted this game to be in Mac Jones' hands on Saturday night. I thought in the long run, it would benefit the Patriots for that to happen. So running the ball all the time, playing defense, giving him 14 and 20-point leads that he could protect, and handing the ball off and throwing only three passes in Buffalo, those aren't going to make him a better player. What's going to make him a better player is to have the game on his shoulders with a full plate and having to find a way to win. So in a lot of ways, I wanted that to happen on Saturday in Indianapolis, and it did. He wasn't ready for it. But at least now we know. Now we know. So we can see what it is going forward, and we can get some better assessment. And it doesn't mean he can't improve from now to the end of the year. He can. He also doesn't have great receivers, even with the guys he's got. Jacoby Myers should have had that pass in the first quarter. That was a big play. It's a 3rd and 9, 3rd and 7, somewhere in that range, 3rd and long. And Myers doesn't make the catch. A good receiver does. So these are all things that factor into who Jones is and what he is now and what he's going to be in the future. So of course he can grow. Yes. But if you had concerns about him coming in, then I don't know that a lot of those have been alleviated. If it was about his arm strength and his physical ability. Jimmy, quickly, can we do the email of the day?
The Mimecast email of the day.
Yeah, dear Felga.
Dear Felga, I really hate you, and I think Maz is a boob.
He'll be.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast. I flubbed my line, Arcan. Did you catch that?
Yeah, you're still flubbing your lines still flubbing all these years later.
Yeah, you're a flub. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit mimecast.com. That's MIMECAST.com. Just a quick email from Paul. Murray and Maz, don't let the facts get in the way. Taylor had 28 carries for 103 yards, a 3.6 average with 2 minutes remaining in the game. Okay, so this is now an indication of 3.6. The Patriots shut him down, even though at the beginning of the game, the metric, I don't know, they showed a graphic during the broadcast. Belichick keeps these guys under 100 yards all the time. Well, he didn't keep this guy under 100 yards. And why doesn't the last play count? Murray, why doesn't that count?
Because it went against the Patriots.
I mean, if he had gotten 1 yard and held short of the first down, people would say they stuffed him.
Look, math not a strong suit, because I got this, you know, all people all over my Twitter, more emails like this. Math not the strong suit of myself or the show. And also, it's my getaway day, so lay off.
Okay, so is that what he's talking about? We just got the math wrong? Is that it? Or is he trying to defend the fact?
It was me. I said, well, even if you took away that 67-yard run, well, it's probably still averaging like 5 yards a carry. Whoops.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I would say, well, they knew the run was coming and they still couldn't stop it.
And he was still good on first and second down.
You know, I can understand why Felger becomes a sort of a penis in this chair. We call it the a-hole chair.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while, you do sort of start
to be one or the other in that chair.
You sort of start to get agitated with the callers. Like, you know, so we said that, what, Jonathan Taylor gets shut down? Stop being such a little bitch. Jeez. It's like, they got run over. They got pushed around. Stop being a baby about it. Final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mazz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mazz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tires. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. Best prices, great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. We got a Bedard 10 questions recap here, courtesy of Hardy, the hardest working man in show business.
We didn't play well, we didn't coach well. But I said it like five times.
John Harbaugh, why does he keep doing this, and do you agree or disagree? Greg.
You just...
agree or disagree?
Well... So, to me...
Agree or disagree? Tom Brady being elected to a record 15th Pro Bowl is A, meaningful, B, useless, C, neither meaningful nor useless, D, largely a sign of longevity.
Well.
True or false? Carson Wentz blows.
True.
Give me your current MVP top three.
Aaron Rodgers, Jonathan Taylor, Tom Brady.
Okay. So Rodgers.
Yeah, write that down.
I was trying to keep track. Brady. Very interesting. Okay, this one is a little convoluted, but work with me. Now we're going to go to number five. I want your MVP ballots again, but without quarterbacks.
Taylor, Parson, Watt.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. Yeah, go ahead.
Who was yours?
I didn't put one down. As of today, give me your participants in the AFC and NFC championship games. Who are the final four in football this year?
Titans at Chiefs, Bucks at Packers.
Very interesting.
We didn't do anything well enough to win tonight.
Very interesting. All right.
I like that Hardy rightfully skipped over the one that wasn't just a question at all. It was just you proving Garoppolo had the best weekend out of all the former
just propaganda.
You know, I noticed that Hardy left that out.
Yeah.
You know, the funny part is I tried to structure questions in such a way that Greg would have to answer them. Like true or false.
Yeah.
Multiple choice. You had to pick something to, you know.
Blah, 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 blah. Preamble. Oh, I disagree.
A lot of hemming and hawing from the big boy.
Ugh.
Who's shrinking in size every day. So our thanks to Christian Arcan for helping out.
Thank you.
Jim Murray, appreciate being alongside.
Always a pleasure, Mazz.
Who's coming up? Matt McCarthy and McBone tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right, McCarthy and McBone coming up. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on Felger and Mazz. Everybody have a nice night.
See you.
Back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.